Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to finish up on the last caller and say a couple of things. Why do you think we have MLB, a Major League Baseball franchise in Milwaukee, and why do you think we have an NBA franchise in Milwaukee? We have baseball, professional baseball, because Bud Selig saved it back in the late 60s, and Mark Attanasio came in, and he's continuing to save it and doing a great job. He's a great guy. And Mark Attanasio, I know Mark Attanasio. And the other thing is, he's not running for anything. So if anything, we should be very grateful to him and to Bud Selig for what they did. The second thing is, Herb Cole saved the franchise for the Bucks back in the 80s when he bought it. Fact is, that thing would have gone out of town so quick, it isn't even funny. It's very hard to get an NBA franchise. When you look at the, how do we have the Packers in Green Bay, Brewers in Milwaukee, Bucks in Milwaukee when we're as small as we are? Small, they're tiny markets, tiny, tiny markets. And a couple of visionaries, Bud Selig, then Mark Attanasio, and then you have Herb Cole, who is really the guy, the 800-pound gorilla who saved it. And then you have a very good team that came in and are taking it over and keeping it here and are committed to keeping it here. And the son of one of them, Alex Lazary, is running for Senate. I'm not endorsing in that primary. There are a lot of good candidates, but Alex Lazary is a good candidate. And Alex Lazary is not a hedge fund manager. He's never been a hedge fund manager. So you shouldn't say things like, well, Alex Lazary, somehow we should talk about hedge fund management about him. He's not, he isn't one. He's the vice president of the Bucks. And Mark Attanasio is not running for any office. Very grateful that he saved the Brewers. So let's get real here. Let's get real. And for the caller to say, I'm going to vote for the least disgusting candidate. You can't vote for a disgusting candidate. This is democracy. Come on. If you're going to do that, at least write somebody in. Write yourself in. Unless you have a bad self-image, and then write somebody else in. I mean, right. But you don't vote for, yeah, the guy's disgusting, I'm going to vote for him. That doesn't make sense. That's not what democracy is all about. Anyway, good topic. Grateful for the caller, different point of view. That's what we thrive on in this station. Well, another sad thing, another rat deserting a sinking ship. The second staffer for Matt Gaetz just resigned. You may remember that his communications chief, Luke Ball, resigned about a week ago. You know, he claimed, oh, I want to go on to other opportunities. And he whistles, you know, past the graveyard as he runs out as fast as he can. Now the legislative director, Devin Murphy, quit, whistling by the graveyard. Oh, it has nothing to do with anything. I just, you know, I want to look around, look around. What they're afraid of is that when Gaetz goes down on some very nasty stuff, people get tainted by that, even though it's unfair. You know, Luke Ball and Devin Murphy had nothing to do with any of that, presumably. But they're thinking that if we get off the ship now, what, maybe people will forget we worked for the guy? I mean, you know, it's a record. It's on their resume. I think, you know, the better thing, honestly, you know, they're only going to get picked up by Republicans. They're not going to be picked up by Democrats. They go around, they say, look, yes, it's very sad, but that wasn't me, and blah, 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 blah. The truth is that a taint continues to apply. You know, the Trump people, a lot of them are not being picked up by anybody, can't find basically lobbying work or staff work. I mean, you know, and that's all they're looking for right now, because people are going, well, do we want, you know, do we want the Trump aura? You know, you're at a nice picnic out somewhere and suddenly the distant scent of a skunk, you know, comes wafting over the blanket and you're going, what kind of picnic is this? So a lot of these people do not want association with Trump, and they do not want association, especially with Matt Gaetz, who does not have Trump's cachet, and yet apparently is up to some, you know, fairly kinky stuff. I mean, according to, we're not prejudging him, you know, he's innocent until proven guilty, but given what's said, and with Joel Greenberg about to rat on him, it's not looking good. Going back to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Happy Friday. Thanks for taking my call, Matt. I'm happy Gaetz is not a Democrat. Of course, a Democrat would probably never do something that bad. Hey, the bottom line here, the Republicans are out of ideas. They're backwards. And Joe Biden has forward ideas. And the Democrats got to leave these people behind. Same in this state. The Lost and the Boys, backwards. And if we get rid of gerrymandering, their majority, maybe not in the Assembly, but in the Senate, is probably going to end. And hopefully, if Tony runs, hopefully we'll win the governorship this time and get rid of Rojo. But the bottom line here, Matt, is the Democrats are forward-thinking. The Republicans are living in the past. And you have to leave these people behind. They're still living in the gun gods and gay era here, and they mix in a little race with it. And it's just, it's not resonating. So you have a great Friday, and thank God the Democratic Party is not mixed up in Gates. That's all I got to say. Thanks for taking my call. You have a great weekend, my friend.
Yeah, Paul, thanks a lot. And thank you for that excellent comment, and good weekend to you too. You know, Paul just put his finger on something. 90% what we spend our time talking about and complaining about and joking about and everything else tends to be nibbling around the edges of the real issue. And you know, what Matt Gaetz and Trump, what it really comes down to is the average voter is smart and attentive. And when a party does no longer believes in growth, no longer has new ideas, no longer is ready to take us into the future, there is a very famous statement from an Italian novel about 70 years ago that very few people have read, but it goes like this. Here's the statement, and think about this. It says, for things to stay the same, they must change. For things to stay the same, they must change. In other words, if you want to keep your values, your happiness, the strength of your country, and so forth, some externals must change. You know, you can't just think that we're going to be frozen into, you know what, the 50s or the 20s or something, or people, flappers running around, or, the man in the gray flannel suit and all this kind of stuff. They change. We accommodate change, but we do it in the context of our values and our objectives. And we want it to stay the same in the good sense, but it has to change. You have got to get rid of the overt racism, for instance. You know, a small handful of cops. I have cops in my family, uncle, cousin, wonderful people. 98-99% of cops should have our full support, full funding. There's one or two rotten apples. There are one percent rotten apples, just like there are 1% rotten apples in the Senate or in any bank presidents and anything else. That's got to change. You've got to weed them out and stop the murder, the strangling and the shooting in the back of unarmed people. I mean, you got to stop doing it. That's an example. Another example is you've got to start integrating people, everybody, so they all think they have a shot at the big time and so forth. So what Paul's saying is people ultimately are going to award growth, new ideas, and innovative programs that make common sense. You know, the coronavirus thing is absolutely makes common sense. I mean, the fact of the matter is, at one point, you had 10 million people out of work because of this. Now it's somewhat reduced, but a lot of these people have two jobs, minimum wage jobs, and they have no benefits. So you have the Republicans trying to deny them medical care. You have the Republicans trying to deny people food benefits unless they can prove that they have a job or they're looking for a job, and harass them and turn down money for it. People don't like that. They understand. People need medical care and have to have food. That's really basic, really basic. There's one guy named Harrington, a writer. He made a very good point. He says, you know, nobody in this country ever died of thirst. You know, in other words, if as poor as you are, you can go to a public restroom, to the toilet, to the sink, and just, you know, turn on the faucet and get some water. But people in this country are malnourished, and people in this country are dying of no medical care. That's a different story. So you have a party that opposes those kinds of initiatives, ultimately it's not going to prevail. Ultimately, it's not going to prevail. We have a real piece of work out in Kansas. The Republican majority leader's name is Gene Sewellentrop. He got drunk. This is the Republican majority leader. This would be like the Voss of their state Senate. You know, he's gerrymandered. The guy's no good. He's driving the wrong way on a highway drunk. Cop pulls him over and he berates the cop. He calls him Donut Boy. And he says, in a fight, I could take you. Now, if George Floyd had done, I mean, think about that. If you did that in Madison, you go on the Beltline the wrong way, drunk as a skunk. Cop pulls you over. You go, hey, Donut Boy, in a fight, I could take you. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think should happen? Out there, they're treating this guy with kid gloves, Gene Sewellentrop. Gene Sewellentrop better get fried for this. I do not mean the electric chair. I don't believe in capital punishment. What I mean by that is Gene Sewellentrop should be dealt with the way anybody else would. If you're drunk, you know, wrong way, and it was a chase. It wasn't just a wrong way driving. It was a chase. You know, one time I was driving from Appleton down to Milwaukee, and I'm coming along the highway, and I see headlights coming towards me, and I'm thinking, it must be a snowmobile, you know, on the other side or something, and I'm not seeing it right. Guy goes by me at something like 60, 70 miles an hour. I'm doing 55 or 60. That means our closing speed is 130 miles an hour, and he missed me. And then, you know, you pull over. In those days, no cell phones, a long time ago, you look for a payphone and call the cops. Fortunately, there was no reporter, but fatality, but that does happen. And you go the wrong way drunk on an interstate highway or any kind of highway, somebody's going to die. They don't know how to react. They come right at you. They don't know if you should go right or left. You go the wrong way. Gene Sewellentrop, the leader, Republican leader of the gerrymandered state Senate in Kansas, goes on a chase. He starts speeding. They catch him. He goes, Donut Boy, in a fight I could take you. He had better pay the price for that. He'd better pay the price for that. I don't know that he will in Kansas. Kansas is politically a very disturbed state. Great governor. They have a Democratic governor. They overrule her all the time, the legislature. They're bad news. Going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.